Hello and welcome to Women in the Coaching Arena podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Jo Lott, a business mentor and ICF accredited coach, and I help coaches to build brilliant businesses. I know that when you prepare to enter the arena, there is fear, self-doubt, comparison, anxiety, uncertainty. You can tend to armor up and protect yourself from vulnerability. In this podcast, I'll be sharing honest, not hype, practical and emotional tools to support you to make the difference that you're here for. Dare greatly, you belong in this arena. Welcome to the 54th episode of Women in the Coaching Arena. I am so glad you are here. I am recording this episode on the 15th of March, which is 1 year to the date that I launched this podcast. So it feels very exciting to have today seen my podcast as number 11 in the marketing charts alongside Amy Porterfield, who is someone I love in the space. She is an entrepreneur of 15 years. She has 450,000 followers and all of the things. And now I have a photo of me on the same page as Amy Porterfield's podcast, which makes me very, very happy. And in such a competitive niche with thousands and thousands of marketing experts across the world, it feels really exciting that this podcast has been recognized with some of the best marketeers out there. So thank you so much for listening, for rating, for reviewing the podcast. I truly appreciate you. And you squash so many of my limiting beliefs. So thank you so, so much. As a birthday competition, I would love to invite you to rate and review this podcast on whichever platform you listen to it on. I think ratings only are allowed in Spotify and certain platforms, but Apple also allow a review. So I would love you to do that. And when you have done it, please send me an email on joanna@joannalottcoaching.com. That's Joanna with an A and Lott with two T's, joanna@joannalottcoaching.com. Or you can message me on LinkedIn or Instagram if we're connected there, and I will put your name in a draw to win a new program I have created and not yet launched called Signature Solution. It is a 2024 version to help you sort your mindset, nail your niche, create an amazing offer, and gain your first paying clients through your network. So you will go in a draw to win that online course should you enter and leave me a review and let me know by Friday the 22nd of March. So let me move on to today's episode. I am so excited to share Kate Waterfall Hill's true journey from starting out as a qualified coach and where she has got to now. She's a leadership coach, and she particularly focused on TikTok. So she talks about her journey of finding her thing and trialing what worked for her marketing wise and how she eventually grew her business. There is so much gold in this conversation that Kate shared with my other clients in my Business of Coaching call, which was lovely as she left the Business of Coaching, my program, around 6 months ago. So it was a great moment of reminiscing of Kate being part of the program and now being able to come back and share her learnings. So I hope you enjoy the conversation. Welcome everybody, and especially welcome to Kate, who's going to share her journey with us today, because like I say to everyone, she's a true inspiration as to what is possible, especially for women of a certain age. Is that like
how very dare you?
I mean me, Kate. I'm inspired as to what's possible for me.
Yeah, even when you get as old as me, you can have a career that's not being a lollipop lady.
Exactly. Honestly, it's a hard time as a woman, you know? So tell us about when you first qualified as a coach.
So I've had my own business for quite some time, since 2007, and I was a small business management consultant, basically advising a range of small businesses on various different things, business improvement and marketing, and you know, being a non-exec director, sort of just sort of sitting on the board. And then I decided to retrain as a coach. So I already had a portfolio of clients that I was working with, and I was able to coach them as part of my coaching training. And then I sort of came out of the coaching training and I thought, well, okay, how am I going to get more coaching clients? I need to get some business that's not this attached to the consultancy I was already doing. And that's when I started looking around for ways of marketing and positioning myself and that sort of stuff. And I was a bit, didn't really know how I was going to position myself. At one stage, I thought I wanted to do midlife women coaching. It was a bit too, I don't know, there were things that I didn't feel qualified to help with. But I knew that I really knew about leadership because I've been a, you know, I got promoted to being an account manager 6 months into working at the marketing agency, and I was the managing director at 29. So I knew a lot about being a leader, particularly in small businesses. I thought, actually, yeah, being a midlife woman's just hard, you know, go over it. But actually, being a leader, I can give you some tools and techniques and tips and tricks to actually make a difference. So yeah, pivoting to being a leadership coach was part of what I did with Joe's program, actually understanding what sort of specialism, what sort of niche I wanted to go into, and then going from there. Have I answered the question? Can't remember what
I think I would
it was.
say.
You know, coming out the other end with a coaching qualification, you I sort of felt like people would say, oh yes, I'd like some coaching. It doesn't really work like that though, does it? You know, it's sort of you have to carve a name for yourself somehow and be yourself. And I think, you know, those of you who know me from the social media stuff that I do will know that humor is a major part of how I market myself, but it's also a major part of how I deliver my service. So finding that thing that makes you uniquely you is a really key bit to growing a business, I would say.
Yeah, totally. And that's exactly what I just said on my live stream just now, that that's exactly what you did.
Yeah.
You lent into exactly who you are and that humor and made it your thing. And I think the more all of us can find our unique way of expressing it, the more you will attract
Yeah.
people.
And also the more fun it is, because if you're being you, it's so much easier and it's authentic and people will get that. They will see that you're being authentically you, they can sort of sense it. But because I like using humor, so to me, I know to some people having to do social media is just awful and people hate it. I really like it. I've got downtime 20 minutes in between calls and I think, oh, I make a TikTok. You know, it's like a treat for me.
No way.
So, but it's finding something that works for you and making sure that you're doing something that's true with you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, totally. And then thinking back then, the challenges you faced in the early days, tell us more about the challenges before you found your thing.
Yeah, so I started off doing Instagram because I wanted to do midlife coaching. So I started off on Instagram and I just found it really slow and I wasn't getting the interaction. And the few reels would do quite well. And I was doing reels as me rather than as the character Linda, the bad manager, who I now do on TikTok. And I was doing little, you know, reels to camera just saying, if you have trouble with procrastination, why don't you try these top three tips? I was getting some interest, but no leads, getting some comments and some followers, but no actual leads out of it. And then I joined your group, Joe, and decided that I wanted to go for corporates and for professionals and do leadership coaching. So I made LinkedIn my focus. And so I really did. I did your offer to market program, which was absolutely brilliant and completely pushed me out of my comfort zone. I was, for some reason, I was happy to be on Instagram, didn't mind being visible and vocal there. But when it came to LinkedIn, I had a bit of a mental block about it. And I think it was to do with my old colleagues. So, you know, I've been the MD of a marketing agency. I'd left there after I'd had two kids, and I felt, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I felt like I was seen as a bit has-beeny. You know, they were all in their 20s and 30s. I was in my late 30s, but I'd got a bit overweight and I was feeling a little bit mumsy and not attractive. You know how you go through that phase when you've got young kids. Yeah. Anyway, so, and I just didn't feel, you know, sparkly and on top of my game. And so I had that image of myself when I was, you know, some 15 years later going on LinkedIn that I would have my old colleagues from the marketing agency would be saying, oh, what's boring old Kate doing trying to pretend that she's a leadership coach, and that they would be judging me in some way. And then your message, I've said this before, but I'll say it again, your message about, you know, don't worry about the people who your message doesn't resonate with. They're not your audience. Then let the message bounce off them and they can scroll on by. But the ones who it resonates for are the ones that you're speaking to. And also, so that was one message that really hit home with me. And the other one was, you're here, you wanted to do coaching, to do meaningful work, to change people's lives, to help people for the better. And the first job you've got to do is let them know that's what you do so they can find you. And actually, you're doing them a disservice if you don't let them find you. So hiding your light under a bushel and not being visible in whatever way you want to be visible is, you know, it doesn't make sense for you as a business person, but it also doesn't make sense for the audience. You've got to be out there and be brave. And so I was brave and I haven't looked back. Been brave ever since.
And the thing that Kate did, which I found hilarious, I think on our discovery call, I said to Kate, well, what are you going to do? Email your old boss and ask for his permission? She went, great idea. And she emailed and said, oh, I would like to post on LinkedIn, but I'm worried about what you're going to think of me. You know, do I have permission to proceed practically? And he said, yes. And there we go.
Yeah, it was a weird situation. I went off on maternity leave. I wanted to come back part-time, so he got promoted and I was his deputy. And we always had this slightly odd relationship where we were two very different people. We actually, you know, whenever I see him now, we get on, you know, brilliant. He's a really lovely chap. But there was definitely a tension with this strange scooting around of jobs. So I didn't really ask his permission as much as to say, I need to slay a dragon. My business coach is telling me I need to be visible on LinkedIn. For some reason, I've got a hang up about you seeing my posts. I don't know what that's about. And he wrote back saying, no, I don't know what it's about either. Get on with it. That was it. And so I did, and that's that.
Yeah, amazing. Do share in the comments or raise your hand and then we can unmute if you have questions for Kate. I have about 1,000, but I don't want to be selfish. So do raise your hand or unmute if you want to ask questions.
I'll go.
Great, Sarah.
Hey, Kate, I only got introduced to you recently and I love it. I love your TikTok videos that you do. The question that I had for you was, when you found your thing, let's say, with TikTok and your humor and doing the scripts that you do, how did you make those come together? Did you sort of accidentally stumble across it, or did you sort of just keep posting random bits and then think, oh, people are finding that funny, I'll lean into that? How did you come up with it? Because I find that I'm trying a few different things, and like you said, it's about finding what feels right.
Yes, so I did stumble around a bit, as I said before, on Instagram and didn't quite find the right messaging, but it was quite good for me to get into a habit of posting content regularly and being visible and not being worried about it. And knowing that even if I did get one Facebook post that had a bit of a backlash because I said about choosing to be stressed, you know, and you can choose your options. And some people took exception to that. But it taught me a lesson. You know, it taught me that I need to be mindful of people who have mental health issues or who have neurodiversity. And, you know, I've got to be careful about some of the messaging. So stumbling around a little bit in the background, you know, is useful. You know, learn, you know, fail fast, learn fast. But I'll be honest with TikTok, I was really lucky. You know, I literally had a glass of wine one January evening in 2023 and decided to do the first skit. And the first skit was, yeah, me talking off camera. I wasn't really Linda then. I was more of a sort of unfortunate manager who hadn't quite, you know, found her way yet. I wasn't the sort of nasty character that Linda's turned into. And I just sort of say, oh yeah, this, you know, somebody keeps turning up late for work and it's really annoying. And the person off camera says, you know, have you done anything about it? Are you going to speak to them about it? And that I say, oh no, I'll just quietly rage behind her back. And I just thought that was quite amusing. And that first video got you know, quite a few views and comments. You know, TikTok does favor you when you're new, and it pushes out your stuff when you're new, and particularly if you post every day. Because of Joe's program and knowing that needing to be visible and having that discipline of doing the everyday thing in offer to market, I thought, well, actually, I'll just do one every day. Because if you don't, other thing actually that Joe said that's really struck with me, and I say to people all the time, is that, you know, imperfect action is better than perfect inaction. So I just carried on posting, knowing that people just scrolled on by and it didn't really matter. But to get into a good habit, to get the algorithm knowing that you're posting every day, it helps at the beginning, and just seeing what happens. But I was really lucky. The format worked almost straight away.
Thank you.
Thanks for the question.
So, how long did it take you to get clients
From
on
TikTok,
TikTok?
a week. Yeah, literally in the first week, I had two men contact me saying, would you consider coaching me, please? Couldn't believe it. And one was very senior in the NHS, a senior clinician who was also being an IT lead in a digital front transformation project. He didn't know how to combine managing clinicians and managing IT people, so he wanted some help with that. And he signed up to a 6-month program. It took quite a long time to actually get him to start because he was so busy, but he did get funding and it got paid for quite quickly. And then the other one is still a client, an entrepreneur, and he emailed me, love your TikToks, can you coach me? I was like, yeah, I think I probably can squeeze you in.
I'll squeeze you in, right? Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. That's so good, those early days, isn't it? When can you start?
Exactly. Let me see when I've got some space.
Oh, totally. So tell us more. What's going on in your life right now? What has this opportunity brought to your life for anyone that doesn't know already?
Yeah, so the part that Joe's program, as you probably know, for those of you who've been in it any length of time, helps you with the structure. So I was a bit random about, selling an hour here and there and that sort of stuff. So my structure's really clear now. I have a 6 month program. I meet with them every 3 or 4 weeks. They get a couple of bonuses thrown in, and they also get support from me in between their sessions. So they get a really nice package. It's really clear, and there's a program that takes them through learning about themselves. So self-reflection, values, your leadership style, your personal brand. Then it takes you through how to influence positive outcomes, whether that be with team members, peers, or stakeholders. And it's about inspiring, motivating, delegating, coaching, handling underperformance, handling conflict, all those sorts of things. So there's you, others, and then the last section is your future, where your career is going or where your business is going. So that was really, really helpful. Probably one of the key things that I took from Joe's program was to have a clear program and a clear transformation, your heaven and hell. I'm such a good student. I even know all the things.
It's okay. These people are bought already, Kate. You don't need to
I
ask.
know, I don't need to sell anymore. But just to validate this is
Just
confirmation
keep
bias
going,
confirmation bias in its highest order, to confirm that you've made good decisions buying this program. I can confirm it. Anyway, then I realized that there was a limit to how many one-to-ones I can do. And following Joe's example, wanted to do a group program. And I am a little bit, yeah, I'll just give it a go, see what happens, type of person. And I know not everybody is. Lots of other people like to plan it and make it perfect before they launch something. But I'm a real just get out there, tell everyone you're going to do it, and then you've got to do it type person. So I joined your program in September. I was still on your program when I said I wanted to do group coaching. And so I launched a beta program where I did a three module, did videos, did coaching sessions, got feedback from them, realized it needed to be a longer program. So I think I launched it in March, did it in May. I think I had seven people on the beta program, which was 250 quid. And then in June, thought, yeah, I really need to launch this in September. So I launched it in July, had 10 people sign up for September, 10 people sign up for 11, I think, sign up for November, 10 for December. I've got seven because I put the price up, got seven, I think, in or eight in January, seven in, put the price up again, seven in February. And I haven't got as many, I've only got one actually, to be honest, that starts on Monday. But the price is the full price now. And I think probably I need to just give it another nudge, another step up somehow. I think maybe the first 6 months of it have been my super fans. The low hanging fruit, the people who wanted to be in my world but couldn't necessarily afford one to one. So it needs a little injection or something. And actually, on Joe's pushing or suggestion, I'm doing a Facebook Live tomorrow evening for no apparent reason other than, yeah, why not? See if I can get some more people
Other
in.
than I said,
And
you've not even
I've
launched your program, Kate. She just thinks she can put out an email going, sign up.
exactly.
Sometimes you might have been able to get away with that for the last 6 months, but occasionally
Yeah, got to put
you
some
might.
effort in. So I have been, yeah. So I've launched that on Saturday. Well, again, this was literally, I'm in lying in bed talking to Joe, not literally like that, but on Voxer, and saying, oh, I've still only got one. And Joe said, maybe you need to think about something a bit more interactive, offer a bit more bonus. And right, literally there and then, I'm still in my nightie. I've launched a Facebook Live within 10 minutes, and I've got over 100 people signed. Hopefully, I'll get
Amazing.
one or two out of that.
Actually, that's a good, yeah. So an average conversion rate is usually around 5% is a good conversion rate from a workshop thing to people signing up. So yes, here's hoping.
I've got over 100 saying they're coming. I absolutely know they won't all come. Even my warm senior, because I've got a Facebook group called Senior Women in Small Businesses. I've got 675 people in that. And I had 85 sign up for a workshop at the beginning of the year. And I think 30 turned up, even of my warm group. People are just a bit flaky, aren't they? They just say they're going to go to something and then don't bother. But I suppose they say they're going to go, so it's in their diary, and then on the day they choose whether they fancy it or not.
That's just completely normal. I think that's a normal show up rate. So what would your advice be to anyone starting out? Yeah, just starting out for like, well, a few months, years into business, but maybe not found their thing yet.
Keep going would be the thing I would say. It's bloody hard work. Don't get me wrong, it's not easy. And you get, I get some months where I look at my figures and I think, oh my goodness, this is it. I'm literally properly making really good money and I've got really nice clients. I really love what I do. This is all going brilliantly. And then you get a little bit of a crisis of confidence, or something happens that's not quite so good, or you get some feedback that's not quite as positive, and it knocks you back a little bit. But the people who succeed and build a really good business in any line of business, whether it's coaching or not, are the ones who pick themselves up and dust themselves off and carry on. But you've got to, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating for toxic positivity, but there is something to be said for resilience and keeping going and showing up. Because if you don't show up, if you decide this is too hard, then you'll never know, will you, whether or not it would have worked if you just carried on for another month or two,
Yeah.
but keeping going. And also, it's having good people around you who can cheerlead for you and say, yeah, you'll be all right. I mean, Joe's been brilliant. And, said to me, they'll say, you've had one slightly less good month. Go of yourself.
I know. I've always noted about going, well, if your aim's 5 a month and just this 1 month, she's like, actually, I've been signing up 10 a month. I'm like, well, what are we complaining about?
Yeah,
You
so
had your
shut
fair
up.
share last month.
And actually, literally, just as I was about to come on this call, one of my clients on the group coaching call wrote saying, you're crushing it, Kate. I am really happy to be taking your course.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. And she's probably one of the people who I wasn't sure about. She shows up to all the calls and everything, but I wasn't quite sure whether I was at her level in leadership, because she comes up with some really clever things that she shares with the rest of the group. And I'm thinking, is she thinking I'm not quite up to it? But actually, she's obviously enjoying it. So it's good.
Yeah, totally. And it's good to hear that you can always second guess yourself, especially if you get a client that's like really, I don't know, just a certain level or you feel a bit insecure about.
We've got a question.
What do you do if you upset people? What's the worst that happens?
Yeah, I have upset some people sometimes, and you sort of got a decision that you either, it sort of depends what it is. I either, obviously apologize, I don't want to be upsetting people, but at the same time, sometimes it's, one of those things, and you can't please all the people all the time. And actually, if you have to explain a joke to someone, it's either not very funny or they haven't got a sense of humor, and it might be a bit of both. And actually, I've had some really nasty comments on TikTok from people who haven't got it at all. She was doing a video saying that she's a great millennial manager, and I'm being Linda responding, going like rolling my eyes at her, saying that she doesn't mind when people do their jobs, or if they want to do run errands in the daytime, then they can, and that doesn't matter. And Linda is furious about this idea of, this flexible working approach, and she can't stand it. And it obviously was supposed to be satire, and because I've got, quite a few followers now who know I'm called Linda and know my sidekick is called Alice and my best friend's called Janet, although she doesn't like me as much as I like her. So lots of people are actually, really know the world of Linda's work. So I just put Linda reacts to a millennial manager, thinking that people would get it and that my name at the bottom, Kate Leadership Coach, would be enough to describe it. But no, if you're too quick to judge, then you think that I'm literally an old person. Oh, thank you, Alison. An old person responding to a millennial thing. And loads of people calling me a boomer, which really pissed me off, because I'm not a boomer. I'm Gen X. I'm 1969. I'd have to be 1964 to be a boomer. So they're aging me by 5 years. I'm not pleased about. That's probably the bit that annoyed me the most, actually, was being misaged. But the responses have been, oh, you old hag, you need to retire already, or this boomer needs to die already. Some people were saying that. So, and literally thousands of them, thousands of comments like that. So I did get a bit upset about that myself, and actually was sort of responding to them saying, did you read the caption? Because I changed the caption to say satire, comedy, made it really obvious, or tried to anyway. So of the 5.8 million people who have seen that video, 6,000 of them became new followers. So, every cloud. And also some people defending me and saying, hey guys, you need to read the caption. This lady's just trying to be funny. And it did result in some spin-off videos. I did a response one in the style of Princess Diana, which I enjoyed doing, which had nothing to do with leadership whatsoever, but just made me laugh. So, that's the thing. I think when it comes to your marketing, you've got to do something that you enjoy, because otherwise it's just too hard. If your thing is writing, then write really fantastic blogs and newsletters and articles and LinkedIn posts and throw yourself into that. And if you like video, then do that. And if you don't like any of those things, there will be something that you find that you like, a podcast or, but it's about getting your message out there so that people can find you if they want to. And hiding behind a website isn't going to do it. Fannying about with your website in the back in your office, yeah, it's nice. You want your website to be nice, but they're not going to come and find the website by accident. And
No,
even SEO won't really do it. There's too many of us. What's fantastic about coaching is that it's on the rise, that people are, it's accepted as a form of advancement and personal development and professional growth. And there's no sort of the taboo about it at all. It's actually now, I think literally in the last 5 years, has become one of those things where you get offered coaching. You're like, really? Oh, wow, you want to invest in me for coaching? Whereas I think before it would have been, oh dear, I think you need some coaching sort of thing. It was sort of seen as a little bit of a negative. I think that's really changed. So the opportunity is definitely there, but there are hundreds and hundreds of coaches. So it's about trying to have your message heard and find your niche and find that specialism that lights you up as well, because it shows. I think, I haven't got a niche particularly, other than I'm a leadership coach. I literally coach people who are aspiring leaders, new leaders, really experienced leaders, CEOs, founders, people in big businesses, small businesses, men and women and non-gender, non-binary people, literally all over the world. I have clients now in Australia and New Zealand and in the States, as well as all over Europe and in the UK. Don't have anyone in South America, don't know why, or Africa, thinking about it. But that's all obviously thanks to TikTok. So I don't have a particular niche in terms of the industry or the sector the people are in, but the niche is me, because they have recognized that there's a gap between where they are now and where they want to be. So there's a self-awareness. That's one thing that all my clients have in common. And the other thing they all have in common is they have a sense of humor, because they found me through TikTok and they want to learn from somebody who's got a sense of humor and who is going to make it fun and engaging. So if you haven't found your niche yet, make it you.
Love that. Yeah, you are your niche, totally. What strategy have you found that's worked well on TikTok aside from posting daily?
A mixture of short and long has been good. So doing the odd 10-second one and then a bit longer. I'm on the Creator Beta Fund. So to earn any money out of TikTok, I need to post videos that are longer than a minute. And I'm making a small fortune out of TikTok. I think I've earned £250 so far. But at the same time, I'm actually doing some branded stuff. So I just got a contract actually in yesterday from a business that wants me to do some promotional videos. And so that, it's a bit of money, but they want me to do 4 videos. I did some work for LinkedIn and some work for these guys actually, who I absolutely love. The fantastic little thing of cards, and I've got loads of different ones. Anyway, I did some stuff for them, so there's a little bit of branded stuff. But in terms of, I think actually it is posting daily, because I posted daily for the whole year of 2023, and then over Christmas I thought, oh god, this is getting ridiculous, and I've got enough clients and I'm getting lots of discovery calls in, I don't need to post every day, I'll reduce it down to 3. And I don't know whether it's that, or whether the going on to the Creativity Beta program means the algorithm doesn't favor you so much, or because I've been on for a year and so I'm not favored so much as a new creator. But I've definitely noticed my growth isn't as high as it was. Having said that, I've got 7 discovery calls this week, so it's not harming me too much yet. But I've gone back to posting every day, because I got nervous that I was falling out of favor. So I'll see whether that builds back up again in the next month or two. I do use hashtags, but I don't know that I use them terribly strategically. I don't use trending music, and I tend to post first thing in the morning. And I've sort of found that actually that works for me. I did move to posting in the afternoon and in the evening sometimes, and it's a bit hit and miss, but first thing in the morning works. And actually, I have had quite a lot of comments saying, I look forward to your video when I wake up, sort of thing. It's sort of like almost like a daily ritual for people, which is amazing. And yes, I do definitely batch. I don't schedule the content, I release it when I'm ready, because I sometimes don't want to change. But I find schedule I haven't found a good way of scheduling the content on TikTok, so I do it myself each time. So when I wake up in the morning, literally the first thing I do is post a video. My husband's like, morning. I'm like, doesn't get anything out of me until I post it. The other
Wow.
thing I did notice was that, and I don't know if this is a true thing or not, but I've slightly noticed that if I go onto TikTok, fart about with it for 20 minutes, like and follow and comment before I post, that seems to get me better interaction as well. But I don't know if that's genuine self-fulfilling prophecy sort of thing. I sort of sense that was what's happening, so I do it. But yeah. How much
Totally.
time does it take responding to comments? A fair bit, but I don't respond to them all. I mean, when I was having that one, when I had that literally thousands and thousands of comments on that one that went completely viral, I didn't respond to all of them. But I do tend to respond to ones that need it, if you know what I mean, because interacting with the audience is what it's all about, isn't it? Yeah. I have noticed a shift that my more and more of my discovery calls in the last 2 months have been Facebook. So I still post the original on TikTok and then I repurpose it on Facebook. It copies it to Instagram and then I also put it on LinkedIn, which I know you shouldn't do. I just can't help myself.
Yeah.
And then of course I have a, you know, just as I'm thinking I'm not going to bother with Instagram anymore, I get a discovery call where somebody says, "Oh, I love your stuff on Instagram." I'm like, "Oh no, I can't stop it again now." So
Yeah.
I
But I
just
think you
wonder.
have gone all in on your one platform.
I don't post daily on Facebook, but I'm doing it a bit more than I was. Yeah, I was doing it sort of once or twice a week, but now I'm doing it more like 3 or 4 times. But I just seem to be getting more traction on Facebook. I mean, I've got 51,000 followers on Facebook, which I don't know how I manage that. That sort of happened.
What were we going to ask?
Hi, Kate. Thanks for
Hi.
being here. I love your videos, and I'm not on TikTok, and I don't really do Instagram, Facebook. I see your posts on LinkedIn, so thank you for posting also on other platforms.
Thank
And they
you.
remind me of, because I left myself, like I left a job that I loved, that like in a company that I loved, and I was doing well and all the things. And so sometimes I question my why, even though I love this work. But your videos remind me of what I don't miss about the corporate life. So thank you. I selfishly love them, and then I just love them for as like a fellow coach. What I was going to ask is actually about your program. So you talked about your niche is you, which I love, and you talked about, so it's leadership, but you do aspiring leaders, business owners, seasoned leaders, et cetera, like new managers. So in the program, and also, sorry, the other thing that you talked about is like every month you have a new maybe intake.
Oh yeah,
So
so I've
how
got
do you
yeah, so
manage?
I've got two offers. One is one-to-one, which was the program I described, the You Others Future, and then the course is currently a 12-week program, which is group coaching, content, videos, and workbooks, and the community. So I have it all on FEA Create. So FEA Create gives you a members portal, so the portal people can get their content and see the call recordings if they miss the call, and they can interact on the community as well.
Would you have like a specific launch date then, and everybody starts at the same time, or because it's kind of recorded? And then how do you then manage your message to different audiences? Because presumably, what an aspiring manager needs is to understand management, and maybe how they can transition versus like a seasoned leader who needs, I don't know, how to tweak their leadership or like their future versus, I don't know, a business owner who needs more about the business growth strategies, maybe.
So actually, I found that the fundamentals of leadership are the same, whether you're aspiring or new or experienced or a CEO founder. What I've tended to find is that the CEO founders tend to want to do one-to-one more, although I do have some CEO founders on the course, because they just want that level of A, confidentiality, and B, flexibility. They don't want to have to turn up to a group coaching call every Monday. They want to be able to book their sessions when it suits them around their calendar. So it tends to be that more senior people come to do one-to-one coaching, and the aspiring or mid-level people, or people with really small businesses who can't afford the one-to-one, come to the group coaching because the price differential is such that that would suit them better. In terms of the intake, it's an evergreen program, so they can join whenever they like, and they immediately get access to the course content. They don't come to the group coaching calls until the first Monday of the following month. So they get access to the content now, which means they get access for more than 12 weeks. It was a 12-week program. So if you signed up the day after an intake, you would get that whole month before you had were allowed to come onto the group coaching calls of having the content access. Then you'd have an onboarding call, which I do with everyone who's coming in that month, to make sure they've got the tech set up right and they understand the program and what's expected of them. And I do a whole piece about what I'm here to give you, but what I need from you in return, and asking for feedback and stuff along the way, and bearing with me because I'm still developing the program. And then they go into the group coaching calls every week. And then I record those calls and I post them onto the portal, but they're only on the portal for 2 weeks, so that there's an incentive to get on with watching them. But also it means that the people who are on those calls and being recorded don't feel like their faces are in the ether forever. You know, that they've got some control over the conversation, that they don't feel like a complete stranger will see their video. It'll only be people who are on the program. So the feedback that I've had from that is mostly fine, because you know, some people are joining. So say for instance, people who joined in December then get joined 4 weeks later by people who are joining in January, and then people who are joining in February. So I had one woman who joined in February who said she felt a little bit behind, that everybody else was already, you know, into the program. They'd watched a load of modules. They were already friends, she felt, and she felt a little bit out in the cold. But I was really grateful to her because she actually told me that. So I was able to address it. You know, she sent me a private message saying, oh, I feel a bit, she used the words imposter. And she said, yeah, okay. And I said, let's do it. So I literally called her there and then, and we had a phone call. And I said to her, you know, you're perfectly valid as a member of the team. I think she felt because of her industry that she wasn't sort of worthy to be there. You know, some of the other people on the course are very confident, but that's not to say you're not contributing, because you are. You're a great contributor in the sessions. And, you know, what can I do to make you feel more comfortable? And we just talked about it for 20 minutes. And she said, yeah, I feel great. She's actually sent me a message today saying she's loving it. So all good. But sometimes people need a little bit of help to feel comfortable. And so there's a tiny bit of that where, you know, the September people got really comfortable together, and then the October people arrived, and it sort of slightly changed the dynamic. And I had one bit of feedback from one of the September members that she didn't like it when the October people came. And I was like, yeah, sorry about that. But I've got to grow the group. You know, I didn't really know what to say. But it's made me mindful of it. And I'm thinking, oh, how could I introduce them so that they do feel comfortable? Do you have any answers, Joe? What do you do?
Yeah, so I mean, it's exactly the same. Kate's model is exactly the same as this, Merve. So it's easy to see. I don't know. I think I just try and do a lot of breakout rooms so people constantly get to meet each other. I've moved to Slack at the moment, so we've now got like an introduce yourself here channel. Whereas in Facebook, you know, you can never find it again. Whereas now, if people come to the group, then they can go and learn about each person and you can direct
That's
message
what
each
I
other
do.
in the group and things like that. So, yeah, there's different ways of trying to make sure that people bond, accountability partners. Each week people come, I think you'll hopefully get to meet different people because you go in different groups. And but I think you'd always be advisable to start with, you start on this date, you end on this date. Like evergreen is something to do when you're like Kate, that's got a huge audience that can fill it every month. It's a stressful model if you aren't in that place yet. And so, like starting the 1st of March and ending 1st of April, however long your program is the best way 100% to start your group. I don't think I would start an evergreen unless I've had a big audience like Kate has.
There's some more comments. Do you turn people away if not the right fit? Not from the group, because the people can sign up to the group without me ever meeting them, which they do. And but I do give them the opportunity to have a call with me if they want to before they sign up. The one-to-ones I always meet, and I think they turn themselves away if they're not the right fit, if you know what I mean. You know, you've got to have the chemistry there. It's a mutual thing. I can't think of anybody I've met that I've thought, I wouldn't want to work with them, and then they've signed up. I don't think it would work that way. There have been a couple of people that I've thought, oh, yeah, not sure I'm the right person for you. Actually, quite a few people have come to me who've wanted career coaching, for instance, and it's not really my thing. I probably could do it if I turned my mind to it, but actually helping people choose whether or not they should stay or go, or what industry they could try is, yeah, not really my thing. So I've got two or three people who I recommend. If anybody here's a career coach, I'd happily recommend you if you're good. Because I get that quite a lot. I do get quite a few people who book calls who are actually wanting to moan about their boss, because they see their bosses like Linda, and they want to know how to handle Linda. And yeah, so, you know, I view those calls. I might think differently if I get to a situation where I'm so overwhelmed I can't take any more calls. I might have to be a bit more strict about the qualification for booking a call. But at the moment, I'm happy to do calls even with people who I know are going to have, definitely won't be a customer or a client of mine, because I sort of feel like that's part of my values of doing meaningful work, and I'm giving back to people who need some support, and they need some help. And if that's half an hour of my time, that's good. In fact, the other day, somebody booked a call. She was an ICU nurse, and she had a really challenging situation at work. And I coached her for half an hour, and she said, I can't believe how generous you've been. You've given me all this support, and it's really, really changed the way I'm thinking about everything. I can't thank you enough. And I said, well, you could write me a review on Google. And she said, in fact, it was on LinkedIn. She did it. She literally did it in the next minute. She said, I'm not even a paying customer, and Kate's amazing. In half an hour, she solved, you know, those things. I can't wait to, you know, to be able to work with her one day. You know, it was a bit cheeky of me to ask for a testimonial, but I got one.
Did you make it to type it there and then? That somebody did that with me once. Went, can you just go online before we hang up?
Oh, yeah, oh really?
And I did.
Did they dictate it to you?
practically dictated their own testimonial.
Yeah.
So what would you do, Kate, if it wasn't TikTok and you had to start again now, for example?
Oh, gosh. What if TikTok didn't exist, you mean?
Yeah, if TikTok went out of business, something went wrong and you had to start a new marketing channel campaign.
I think I'd probably, because of the style of stuff that I do, I think I'd probably just move it all to Facebook. And to get the, I mean, I've got a pretty good audience on Facebook already, but if I wanted more of an audience, and I think this is probably what I am going to do, or it's actually what I've got in train, is to start doing Facebook ads, because I think I'd be able to get the quantity that I've been getting on TikTok, which I've sensed is slightly dwindling. So I sort of need to move to something else. So I've actually started working with, Jo knows this, with an American outfit to do a sales video for me. So I've recorded it and I'm waiting for the edit. And they created a funnel, a sales funnel for me, which is really good, actually. I'm really pleased with it. And then I think the next stage is going to be to do probably Facebook ads, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. We shall see.
Any final questions or anything for Kate before we go?
Emma's got something.
It sounds as if you have got loads of followers, loads of leads coming in all the time. Is it just you that does it?
Yeah.
And how many clients do you have on a six-month basis at any one time on your program? And how many in the group?
Right now, I've got 20, and the group.
And is that completely manageable for you?
Yeah. And so I resigned two of them, and I've still got one left. So I'm still doing one day a week as a non-exec director / HR consultant for a corporate, and I also do coaching for them as well. And also brilliantly, I don't mean it like that, but I'm very pleased to be doing workshops for them. So that gives me the opportunity to try out my new ways of doing workshops, and then I'm selling them on. So that's my other revenue stream is workshops. So I do leadership workshops and alignment workshops and design thinking workshops to get people thinking in teams better and communicating better. And I talk about psychological safety and that sort of stuff. So in the workshop, it's about them communicating better and being more of a team, but then I throw in concepts like psychological safety and my version of how to do coaching. So I sort of have some models and toolkits and things that I throw in, and that work seems to work really well. So that wasn't the question that you asked, was it? What was the question?
You've answered my question. It's fine.
There's one question in the Facebook group, which is there training for Facebook ads that you'd use? You're using that person, aren't you? Are they doing your ads as well? You haven't started?
They will. I think they will be. Yeah, no, I don't know how to do it myself yet. So I think I will be getting them to do it. Actually, there's another question here as well.
Do you outsource any of the work?
I don't outsource any of the coaching, but I do have a bookkeeper and I have a virtual assistant who actually I'm moving from a virtual assistant who's completely virtual to somebody who's local. So although most of the work she does is virtual, occasionally she comes to my house and helps me with the chaos. So I've got a nasty cupboard there, but my husband's a builder and a carpenter. So when we moved into this house in 2009, if there was an orifice, it had a cupboard built on it. So alcove there was, doors on that. So there's just stuff in cupboards everywhere in this house. And I asked her to come and help me with the COD, I called it, which was the cupboard of doom. So she came to help me with the cupboard of doom. So it's really lovely to just feel like I've got somebody to give some admin tasks to, but also to, I have a regular meeting with her. So with my other virtual assistant, she just did like 5 hours a month and I didn't really keep in touch with her terribly much. This is lovely. I have a half an hour session with her every Tuesday. We go through what there is to go through, and it just feels like I've got a bit of a partner in crime who's there thinking with me. She's not driving me as such, but it's just really, really nice. So I'd recommend having some sort of virtual assistant at some stage for sure. It's worth it, even though they're expensive.
So any final question, Kate, that we should have asked you that we haven't asked?
Oh, that's a question I ask when I'm recruiting people. Now I know how it feels to be on the other end of it. Is there any other question? No, I think the only thing I would say is that, and Jo is, I promise, is not paying me to say this, is to really, really enjoy this group, because Having a community like this is just so important, particularly as you're setting up, and just having the ability to ask these sorts of questions and share ideas, and also feel like you're not alone on the journey, because it can feel, you know, we're all sitting at home, aren't we, looking at our computers, and it can be a bit lonely. So yeah, just enjoy it. And also, if you haven't got an accountability partner yet, get one out of this group, because that's fantastic. So Sally, Dylan, I still see every week.
Yeah.
And she's great. And it's really lovely to have somebody who you just can chat to. Yeah.
I've loved the accountability partners. The amount of people that are still in touch years on from the people they met is just so lovely. Yeah. I have never personally found that in any of the groups I've been part of. So I haven't got my little buddy.
Oh,
I'm always jealous of everybody hooking up every week, years on.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, you should suggest it in one of your groups, surely.
Yeah, I know I should, but yeah. There we go. I won't try and run their group. I'll just sort my own out.
That's true. You know me. I'm off poking my nose in and putting my suggestions.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time, Kate. You've been so generous to share your learnings. Yeah, there's so much more I would love to ask, but I know you probably have a crazy full diary, so we will let you go. But thank you so much for your time and your inspiration. Okay. You know, you're an inspiration to so many people, and show us all what is possible when you go all in. So it's worth saying that Kate is so hardworking and so committed. And that is the key to your success as well, like just showing up, whether you feel like it or not. And I think that's the thing that I most admire, for sure.
Oh, thank you, Jo. Thank you very much. It was lovely to meet you all. And I hope I've given you some food for thought and some little modicum of inspiration. But just keep going, enjoy the journey.
So I hope you are feeling inspired as to what is possible when you put the time and commitment in. Like I shared on the recording, that is something that Kate has really done, and I truly admire her consistency and discipline, and I think that cumulative effect is amazing when you can do something again and again and think it's not working, and then slowly, slowly it starts to work. So like I say at the end of every episode, trust yourself, believe in yourself, and be the wise gardener who keeps on watering the seed. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Women in the Coaching Arena. I have a mass of free resources on my website, joannalottcoaching.com. That's Joanna with an A and Lott with two T's, joannalottcoaching.com. And I'll also put links in the show notes below. Let me know if you found this episode useful, share it with a friend, and leave me a review, and I will personally thank you for that. Remember to trust yourself, believe in yourself, and be the wise gardener who keeps on watering the seed. Get into the arena, dare greatly, and try.